is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Demonstrations outside the Department of Education today in Washington, D.C. as the Trump administration pledges to dismantle the agency.
Acting Secretary for a meeting.
More than two dozen question. Democrats were denied access to the building after demanding talks. The Trump administration is moving to lay off the majority of staff from USAID. That's the agency that provides billions in aid and medical assistance to developing countries. Out of the 14,000-person staff, some 300 will remain. Three more hostages are expected to be released tomorrow by Hamas in the next phase of the Gaza ceasefire deal. The Israeli Hostage Families Forum confirming the names of the three hostages. No Americans on the list. It is the first release of captives since President Trump suggested a U.S.-led redevelopment plan of nearly 2 million Palestinians from Gaza. 2 months of strong job growth gave way to January slowdown. The monthly labor numbers show 143,000 jobs added in January. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The UW La Crosse Student Union was the site of a mayoral forum held ahead of the primary on February 18th. All four candidates on the ballot appeared, taking on issues such as housing, homelessness, the potential addition of a city administrator position, and city budgeting. One issue that saw a split was on whether the city's police force should help immigration officials. Chris Kahlo, Vicky Markison, and Shondell Washington Spivey said they didn't think city resources should be used for federal government work. Support is growing for Governor Evers' proposal of an Office of Violence Prevention. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kahlo.
Safety experts and advocates say they're hopeful it will save lives. Federal investments have historically been helpful in efforts to address the causes of violence before it happens. But with a recent Trump administration-ordered spending freeze and rescinding federal grants, these efforts may be in jeopardy. Governor Tony Evers announced he is directing $10 million to the Office of Violence Prevention. The funds will come from the American Rescue Plan Act.
It's unclear whether a freeze on federal funding would affect the creation of the office. Two of the three candidates for state superintendent appeared at a forum on Thursday. Challengers Jeff Wright and Brittany Kinzer discussed their candidacy, while current superintendent Jill Underly missed the event due to a UW System Board of Regents meeting and to hold a press conference on the inability for Wisconsin Head Start programs to access federal funding. Wright and Kinzer split on issues such as Act 10, which Wright is in favor of repealing, and school vouchers, which Kinzer is in support of. Several inches of snow is possible with a winter storm system crossing western Wisconsin tonight through tomorrow night. The greatest impacts will be north of I-90, while La Crosse County is in line for at least a couple inches of snow. Areas south of I-90 will see less snow and more mixed precipitation. After the snow, temperatures will drop off with highs in the teens to mid-20s for the next several days. We'll have more details coming up in our Civic Media forecast. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
The Bucks take on the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are back in action tonight on the road against the Hawks. Milwaukee able to snap a four-game losing streak with a win in Charlotte Wednesday, even though Giannis Antetokounmpo was out with a sore calf muscle. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Yeah, just, you know, we needed a win. I don't think anybody was that concerned by it, but no one likes losing, I can tell you that. And so getting a win, going to Atlanta, you know, hopefully having Giannis back, and you know, let's see what we have from there.
The Bucks confirmed that their mega trade sending Chris Middleton to the last place Wizards has been approved by the NBA. The team adding Kyle Kuzma from Washington and center Jericho Sims from the Knicks. Marjon Beauchamp was sent to the Clippers in exchange for guard Kevin Porter Jr. In college hoops, Wisconsin takes on Iowa at the Carver Hawkway Arena in Iowa City tomorrow, game time at 12 noon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's the calm before the storm. High temperatures are rising to the upper 20s, and light snow moves in overnight. We shouldn't be waking up to too much on the ground, but a good 1 to 3 inches is possible Saturday morning into the afternoon. It'll be gone by night, and we're sunny for Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 19.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Pat Kreitlow is off this week, so get used to some Bach in the Dock. Greg Bach and Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Monday through Thursday.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with fantastic producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this TGIF edition. It is Friday, February 7th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to be with you. Overcast skies here at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. Zommers, we've made it to the end of another week.
We sure have. And just one note for something I just saw right now. So Todd standing in front of me past the window in the studio at a table, and the cord for his headphones is coiled.
Yes.
And below the table, I saw it hanging in front of his jeans, and it looked like a wallet chain. And I was like, Todd, have you gone to Hot Topic in the year 2003 or what? I was confused for a very brief moment.
I usually get to trends late, but no, just the old microphone.
No, it's the cable.
But it would not be out of line for me to come to something late, as it turned out. Big show today, by the way. Coming up at 12:30, our longtime friend, ongoing contributor, former Wisconsin Badger football player, three-time Big Ten champion, and spent 3 years in the NFL, Mr. Brady Ewing will join us for his bi-weekly segment, talk a little football, Badger style. The fullback is back at Wisconsin this fall. Talk to him about that as one of the finest fullbacks to ever play the game at Wisconsin. Also get his take on Wisconsin Badger basketball. More on that in just one moment. And we'll also talk Super Bowl with Brady as well and ask him what he learned while he was at Wisconsin and in the NFL in terms of, you know, learning from people different than us who grew up in Richland Center, what lessons that he got out of that for life as he continues to go around the state of Wisconsin and talk to young people, mentor them, and motivate them on how they can become not just better athletes, but better people as well. So Brady Ewing coming up at the bottom of this hour. And then right away, right off the bat, in hour number two, just after 1 o'clock, our very own sports reporter, Mike Clemens, is live in NOLA, New Orleans, for the Super Bowl coming up this weekend. Mike Clemens will join us live, tell us the latest on what's going on Super Bowl and the Super Bowl down there, who is in, who is out. He does not do predictions, but we'll get keys to the game. Keys to the game for Mike Clemens coming up after the top of the hour. Of course, our edition of What's Worse today having to do with pizza. Pizza, you can go, we have a new poll online at our Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. You can check out the pizza poll there. And we're also going to try something new, apparently, a live poll in the show. So more on that in hour number two. And then at 1:30, our old friend and ongoing contributor, the managing editor of EPOM's World, Mr. Peter Rapine, in with the look at the wild and wacky of human behavior and the week in review. Big show.
Oh, yes. It is stacked.
It is. It's stacked. It is jam-packed. And I said, speaking of Badger sports, you can hear Badger sports across the Civic Media Radio Network coming up tonight. Hockey, men's hockey, I believe it is. Penn State at Wisconsin. Broadcast starts at 6:30. You can hear it on Wisconsin Rapids Radio, WFHR, AM and FM. And you can also stream it on the Civic Media app. It is free. It won't cost you a thing. Download it to your Apple or Android device. The Civic Media app. Listen to WFHR up in Wisconsin Rapids for Badger hockey at 6:30 tonight. And then tomorrow, as Mike Clemens has been reporting, our great sports reporter, Wisconsin goes to the Evil Frans. No, I just say that. Their coach's first name is Fran. And he has a very short fuse. And so when he has a temper tantrum, oftentimes he'll get a technical foul.
And it's a frantrum, yes.
A frantrum. So
seems to be a common trait in sports coaches.
Yeah, what's the over-under on a frantrum in terms of when it will happen? Oftentimes in the first half. So Wisconsin travels to Iowa tomorrow. A pregame show kicks off at 11 a.m. across the stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Kenosha, Racine, and Wisconsin and Richland Center. They're all at Wisconsin, Todd. In Richland Center as well. And, of course, you can hear that game for free on the Civic Media app as well on any one of those stations. Again, pregame show, Wisconsin at Iowa men's basketball, 11 a.m. on what will be a snowy Saturday. Tip-off time just after 12 noon. And then more hockey at Wisconsin Rapids, Penn State at Wisconsin on the Wisconsin Rapids stations tomorrow night. So that'll be fantastic. And if you're in the old hometown back in Richland Center in southwest Wisconsin, they're going to carry the Super Bowl. How about that? Kansas City at Philadelphia, 1 o'clock pregame broadcast starts. That is only on the over-the-air station in Richland Center on Sunday. We are not allowed to stream that. All sorts of other legalities and complications. And so, because it turns out it's much more than a statewide contest. That's a bigger deal, the Super Bowl.
But just a little bit.
But if you're in the listening area in southwest Wisconsin, tune in on WRCO 100.9 FM in Richland Center, the Super Bowl. I believe we've gone through the entire Civic Media sports calendar for the weekend. So there you go. I am in, and Zomers is in as well, different shades of red today. If you're watching on the stream, and you can always watch us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter X, whatever you want to call it. We're on the stream. We are both in red today. And as it turns out, today is National Wear Red Day. It's always the first Friday of February. It's an annual campaign to raise awareness about heart disease in women.
I totally did this on purpose, for sure, definitely.
You just happened to wear red today?
Yeah.
Well, I was filling in this morning. I've been up since like 4:30. So it's odd when you get up at 4:30, by the time you get to noon, you're like, wow, I put in a day's work already. I was filling in with Greg Bach, a wonderful, wonderful man, and we were doing the Up North News radio show, but we don't call it that when Kreitlow's not there. We call it Civic Media This Morning. So I was filling in this morning with Greg Bach, and I'd given him the heads up to wear red today, and I forgot to tell it to you, but look, you showed up in a shade of red anyway.
It all worked out.
It all worked out, didn't it, Sam? Hans Lenslinger. Anyway, in the National Camp Wear Red Day, because what we hear so often is women, lots of women in my life, family, friends, and women will, you know, they like to be the caregivers, the providers, the people that take care of others. So oftentimes when they're not feeling well, they just dismiss it. Well, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Well, you know, I'm going through something, bodily function, or I'm, you know, I just had kids, or they don't put themselves first. They take care of other people. And today is a great day to remember and to remind our women in our lives to take care of themselves. And remember, because heart disease is the number one killer of women in the United States, the campaign reminds them to learn their risks for heart disease and to take steps to lower their risk, which increases a woman's chance of the heart disease. Of course, things you could do, stop smoking. If you're smoking, that's a pretty low-hanging fruit there. A sedentary lifestyle. A family with a history of diabetes, stress, inflammatory diseases like rheumatoid arthritis and Crohn's complications during pregnancy and menopause, all those can contribute to heart disease.
One thing that I know is helpful for me, now I'm only 26, and sometimes I still have trouble, you know, remembering to be active for various reasons. Mm. But I got a Fitbit.
That today. And is that new?
I bought it for myself for Christmas.
All right.
So not brand new. And you can configure how many steps per hour, how many steps per day you want to take, and it'll make recommendations based on the information you feed in, like your weight, your age, all that kind of stuff. And for me, at the last 10 minutes of every hour, so like at 12:50 coming up later, it'll buzz and be like, hey, you didn't get enough steps this hour. And just that little extra reminder in this age where we're so hooked on our phones and electronics, something to pull you out of that and remind you, hey, walk around, bozo, well, is very helpful for me.
It's interesting you bring that up, because I put on a little weight the last few months. I put on like 10 pounds. I'm like, what is going on? You know, Well, I looked at my iPhone, and much like you, that calculates. So I was averaging between this summer and the 1st of December, I was averaging 5,362 steps a day. Not great, but whatever. I've gone from averaging 5,362 steps a day since the election down to 2,235.
That's not ideal.
That is not, because all I do is I get up, I come in, I sit, I get ready for the show. I stand for 2 hours during the show. Then I sit and do post stuff and get ready for tomorrow's show. Then I go home and I sit down and I eat. I watch some TV. I sleep and I start it all over again. I have got to get off my sorry keister and start doing some stuff.
It's hard in winter.
I know, but it's been a combination for me between winter and just, you know,
dealing with everything going on in the world,
dealing with the news and absorbing it. But that's a great reminder. So it's National Wear Red today, in particular, as a reminder to what women can do to bring awareness about heart disease in women. So there's that. Also, it's Bubblegum Day. Are you a bubblegum chewer?
Not really, no.
No, neither am I. What else is it today? Oh, it's National Fettuccine Alfredo Day.
Well, that's tasty.
Right. And it's National Send a Card to a Friend Day.
I will probably not be doing that, but maybe.
I need to do more handwritten notes. I need to do more of that.
See, my handwriting is terrible, so all right. I usually don't do that. But
we can all do something.
Yes.
I want to get to one important news story here today. We're going to start this and we'll finish it up after the break. There was a forum held yesterday here in Madison by WispPolitics.com, great news service owned by Jeff Mayers, who I've known a long time. They do great work, great legit reporting where they don't take sides. They just report the news. And there was a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today about a forum that they had yesterday. Headline, State Superintendent Skips Forum While Her Challengers Take Questions on Vouchers and More, by Kelly Meyerhofer and Hope Carnop. Says two candidates in the state superintendent race took questions on school funding, vouchers, and teacher shortage solutions at what's believed to be the only forum featuring multiple candidates ahead of the February 18th primary. That's right, there's a primary coming up a week from Tuesday on February 18th. Missing from yesterday's event, current superintendent Jill Underley, who is seeking re-election. The two candidates who did show up were Sauk Prairie School District Superintendent Jeff Wright, who's been on this program, and also the Republican, basically, challenger, education consultant Brittany Kinzer, calls herself a moderate but is being backed by Republicans. So I'll kind of summarize this in this article talking about Jill Underley said that she first, West Politics gave all the candidates a choice of dates. She didn't get back to them and then claimed she had other meetings and didn't show up. We'll get more into this on the other side because I think this is important and tell you what the candidates who did show up said. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Friday, February 7th, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A New Hampshire Senate bill just killed in committee would have moved the state's 4 presidential electoral votes to a winner-by-district system from a winner-take-all. Nebraska, the only state besides Maine which apportions its electoral votes by district, is trying to end it. The National Conference of State Legislatures defines a winner-take-all system as one where the winning candidate's party, no matter the margin of victory, gets all of the electoral votes. Currently in Nebraska, which has 5 electoral votes, and Maine, which has 4, one electoral vote is awarded for each congressional district a candidate wins, and the candidate who wins the popular vote statewide gets the rest. New Hampshire is currently a winner-take-all state with 2 congressional districts. SB 11 would have adopted the Nebraska and Maine model, likely in anticipation of gerrymandering a guaranteed GOP congressional district. But February 5th, the Senate Election and Municipal Affairs Committee recommended that it be killed in an upcoming full Senate vote. The AP reports that Nebraska's GOP is irritated that candidates Obama, Biden, and Harris won an electoral vote from Greater Omaha's Congressional District 2. Another legislative attempt to end it appears doomed to fail by filibuster, so state Republicans are preparing a ballot measure instead, hoping the voters will change what the legislature could not. We have links to the local reporting and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 21 past the hour of 12 noon on this Friday, February 7th, 2025. Glad to have you along, Zommers and All Ball. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, or just thereafter, Mr. Brady Ewing, 3-time Big Ten champion for Wisconsin football, spent 3 years in the NFL, talked to us a little bit about some of the changes at Wisconsin football during the offseason. What he learned in his time. Both of us grew up in small town Richland Center. What he learned being on a Division I football program like Wisconsin and in the NFL from people that, you know, might not be like us. There are lessons there to learn. And talk a little bit about the Super Bowl as well. Then Mike Clemens live from the Super Bowl after the top of the hour. Want to get back to this story we were talking about. In the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday, WisPolitics.com held a forum, likely to be the only forum for the position of state school superintendent of public schools here in Wisconsin. And the incumbent, Dr. Jill Underle, did not attend. Her challengers, Democrat Jeff Wright, who is a Sauk Prairie School District superintendent, and education consultant Brittany Kinzer, being backed by Republicans, both did show up. WisPolitics president Jeff Mayer said he provided 2 dates to the campaigns. Kinzer and Wright, quote, responded right away and chose February 6th. Underle said she had a conflict. Mayer said WisPolitics asked for alternative dates, but her campaign did not provide them. Underle's campaign said she was unavailable to attend the University of Wisconsin's Board of Regents meeting. The DPI superintendent, by virtue of their position, serves as a regent. So Dr. Underle said she couldn't be either place, so she missed part of at least the board's meeting that was yesterday. And then she held a press conference at 10:30 in Madison to discuss Head Start programs. They're seeing their funding cut under Trump. Important, definitely. But why would they schedule it when she had 2 other things that she could have been at, when the press conference could have been done anytime? So anyway, the WisPolitics forum took place between noon and 1, which, of course, overlaps the Board of Regents' scheduled lunch break, which is held here in Madison. So, I mean, look, I work for politicians, for elected officials. She could have done both if she wanted to. It appears a pretty deliberate decision by Dr. Underle not to be there. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. As someone myself who ran twice for state assembly, candidate forums are important. Debates are important. And if you're going to run for public office, in my opinion, you should show up and answer questions. Anyway, Those who did show up were Wright and Kinzer. One of the questions was, should public schools or do public schools need more money? Jeff Wright said yes, pointing to the increase in number of school districts going to referenda to pay for schools to stay open. He said the amount schools receive for special education must increase, but he said schools do not need $4 billion from the state surplus, as Jill Underley has called for in her budget request. Again, that's basically all of the surplus in the state of Wisconsin coffers. And I think Underley trying to get all of that, you know, one of my former bosses liked to say, remember, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. In other words, don't be too greedy. And I just think trying to say I want all of the $4 billion for DPI is getting pretty greedy. So here you got Jeff Wright. And by the way, Jeff Wright, who's been on this program, running as a Democrat. He's run for state assembly before as a Democrat. But he comes from Sauk County, a very purple politically county just below Wisconsin Dells. And in order to get things done, which he has a record of getting things done at the Sauk Prairie School District, he has had to show that he can listen to, understand, and work with people of all political stripes, which he's gotten done. So that's why I'm just really impressed by Jeff Wright. So Kinzer, the Republican candidate, said she also supports increasing special education reimbursement rates, as well as more money for rural schools' transportation needs. She called for more budget transparency to ensure more money goes to classrooms, not the bureaucracy. Probably the question that really showed the difference between the candidates that did show up yesterday at the WisPolitics Forum was another question in the lightning round asked whether Act 10 should be repealed, the Scott Walker legislation from the early 2010s, which cut funding for public education and took away bargaining rights for teachers and public employees in the state. The 2011 law banned most collective bargaining among public employees, decimating the size and power of teachers' unions. The state Supreme Court is going to weigh in on a lawsuit that could determine the future of collective bargaining for public workers in Wisconsin. And Kinzer, the Republican, said the law should not be repealed. While Jeff Wright, one of the Democratic candidates, said yes, that it should be repealed. I mean, right there, that's the headline as far as I'm concerned. That tells you exactly where these two candidates are at. Because at the end of the day, there is a teacher shortage, and we've talked to our program. I know Jane and Greg have talked on Matt and Aaron Air. Pat Kreitlow has talked to his program. Part of the reason that it's getting difficult to recruit people to go into education is because of the low pay and now making it even harder and more expensive to get benefits. So pay has been cut or not increased like the private sector anymore. And also people having to pay thousands of dollars from their salary for their insurance. So that means their salary is going even further down. So Jeff Wright, superintendent of Sauk Prairie Schools, is like, yeah, we should get rid of Act 10 so that we can support education. Kinzer, the Republican, said the law should not be repealed. Dr. Underley, the incumbent, was a no-show, so she's not on the record here. Also, a question was asked in the lightning round about the closure of the possible closure of the U.S. Department of Education by Trump. Wright expressed doubt about shutting the department down. He said there are big questions that haven't been answered yet, such as which agencies absorb financial aid, Title I funding, and more. Kinzer said so long as Wisconsin continues to receive the federal education funding it currently receives, that she is open to the changes. Again, pretty telling there. All right, that's kind of the highlights from yesterday's WisPolitics Forum on DPI. Come on back. Talk to Brady Ewing on the other side. It's the Todd Allbull Show right here for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Recently, the global dairy trade opened up, and currently, trade is a huge topic in this country. I'm Ben Jarboe at the Midwest Farm Report, and Matt Tranel, the Senior Dairy Market Advisor with EverAg, is here to explain what the global dairy trade looks like early on.
Overall, global dairy trade, the auction was up 3.7% overall, and a lot of the major players and products that make up that particular session were all stronger in a nice way. So skim milk powder was up 3.9%. Whole milk powder was up 4.5%. Those two products alone make up over 75% of that particular auction. Cheese was up 3.7%. Butter was up 3.4%. And anhydrous milk fat was up 2.3%.
Tranel says that if these upward prices continue, then that could prove very good for the U.S. dairy industry. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe, and we'll take a look at those midday markets right after this.
If you milk with robots, you know that cow flow is everything. Cow Corner Consulting helps you maximize cow flow by working with your team to improve your barn workflows, your feed management, and your system settings. Visit cow-corner.co to learn how. Cow Corner is an independent consulting company and works with all brands of robots. They're ready to go to work for you. Sign up for the free e-newsletter or contact John Kerbitz at cow-corner.co.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's see what those markets are looking like midday on a Friday. It looks like the markets are going to end on a bit of a sour note this week as cash corn is down 7.25 at 488 and new crop corn is down 4.25 at 465.5. Cash soybeans are down 9.75 at 1050.75 and new crop soybeans are down 7.25 at 1058.75. March wheat contracts are trading down 3.5 at 584.25 and July wheat is down 2.25 at 607.75. Classroom milk isn't looking too much better as March contracts are down 9 cents at 1997 100 weight and April contracts are down 10 cents at 1957 100 weight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the calm before the storm. High temperatures are rising to the upper 20s. And light snow moves in overnight. We shouldn't be waking up to too much on the ground, but a good 1 to 3 inches is possible Saturday morning into the afternoon. It'll be gone by night, and we're sunny for Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Currently, it's 21.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Max Inc. has a super show this weekend. Join us as we welcome The Flavor That Kills, Rob Dees and the Steepwater Band. Plus, we'll talk weather with Rippyology. Saturday and Sunday evening at 6, it's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
To this day, when I hear that song, I see you standing there on that lawn.
discount shades, store-bought tan, flip-flops and cut-off jeans. Somewhere between that set and the sun, I'm on fire, I'm born to run. You looked at me and I was done, but we're just getting started.
Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network on Friday, February 7th. It is 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Friday. Zomer's on the board. Our favorite 34, at least he wore the number when he played for the Wisconsin Badgers for 4 years in the fullback position. He won three on teams that won three Big Ten championships and played in three Rose Bowls, was the captain of the team his senior year, and then spent 3 years in the NFL for Atlanta and Jacksonville. He joins us from our mutual hometown, Richland Center in beautiful Southwest Wisconsin, Mr. Brady Ewing. Brady, how the heck are you?
Doing great, Todd. How are you doing?
You know, always better when you're here on a Friday. It's I don't have to worry about this half hour. It's like, oh, I'm just going to have a conversation with a friend, and everybody gets to listen into it. So, you know, it's pretty low stress for me.
I like it. Yeah, big weekend ahead in sports too. A lot plenty to talk about with Super Bowl, obviously, and you know, Badger basketball and all that fun stuff. So excited to catch up with you.
Yeah, me too. I want to begin somewhere. And, you know, we're pretty careful. We keep things nonpartisan, and we'll stay that way in this segment. But I think it's just instructive for people in this day and age. I'll just put it that way. Because you and I have had discussions. I know part of what people aren't aware, one of the really cool things that you're doing with your life right now in your private time is you're going around and talking to our young athletes, our high school athletes all around the state of Wisconsin. And if someone wants to, hire you and have you come in and talk to them, they can find you on the socials at Brady. It's B-R-A-D-I-E, Brady Ewing. You're on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. It's B-Ewing34, and reach out and get a hold of you. And I highly recommend people do. But one of the things that you have talked about, I like to just, if you would be so kind as to give us here on the show a little bit of insight into this. You and I both grew up in the same hometown, Richland Center. I'm a lot older than you, but I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and I wrote a column this week about going to the campus there and what it meant to have the Central American Scholarship Program of folks from Central America come to Richland Center, and how it really exposed me to different views and different ideas, and it changed my life. I would like you, Brady Ewing, to give us a sense, coming from the same hometown and coming to Madison and playing in a Division I football program and then in the NFL, what was it like for you to be exposed to people different than you, and what did you learn from it?
Man, awesome question. I actually been doing a little bit of a series on some of the social platforms about what I learned from being an athlete. And this is something I talked about a little bit that came to mind. And it was such a blessing to me coming from Richland Center. I love being from small town Wisconsin, mm-hmm. love our community, the support they showed, but you're also, you know, living in an area where there's not a ton of diversity and there's not a lot of different viewpoints and perspectives on life. And so to come to a place like Madison, not only from a school perspective where you're meeting people from all over the world, but from a football team standpoint, you come into a locker room and you're meeting people from Texas and Florida and, you know, Haiti, people that have different cultural backgrounds, different family backgrounds, different beliefs, different, you know, cultures that they come from. And it was so eye-opening and amazing for me to be able to develop relationships with them, get to know them and their perspectives on life because of the experiences they had that shaped them and the people they were around as they grew up. It was really great in my personal development to have that and to just grow my perspective and open my eyes to a world that's bigger than, you know, Southwest Wisconsin.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. What do you think the biggest thing was that you learned about yourself and all that, whether it was at Wisconsin or whether it was in Atlanta or Jacksonville being in the league? What's the thing that you learned about yourself from being around folks that were different than you?
That I would say, I guess it's not necessarily about myself, but just the fact that we're all so similar. Mm-hmm. Like I think of when I went to Wisconsin, was in a locker room, you know, you're looking up to guys that I was still, you know, looking up to and watching when I was in high school, and all of a sudden you're in a locker room with them and you can get to know them personally. And similarly, when I jumped to Atlanta in the NFL, you know, you see Julio Jones, you see Tony Gonzalez, Matt Ryan in the locker room right there, you're having a conversation with them. And you just realize that at the deepest rooted way, like, we're all so similar. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just people. We've, you know, been blessed with different experiences, different skill sets. And just me seeing that we're, you know, all just people trying to do the best that we can in this world and finding those different common grounds that we can hold our hat on, because there's going to be differences. Mm-hmm. But yet we're also similar too.
Yeah, I appreciate
great,
that.
Great question, Tom.
Well, I just, because we've had you know, off the air conversations about this, and I just really appreciate that, because I think you hit it right. Is that when you're pulling for, and I think, you know, I've read Colin Powell's, the late great general and former Joint Chiefs of Staff, read his book, My American Story. I believe it's called My American Life. I can't remember the exact title, but in his book, he talks about the military being a place where people came from all different cultural and ethnicity backgrounds and whatnot. But when you're in a foxhole together, nobody really cares about that. It's just about doing your job. And obviously, you know, professional sports is, you know, isn't quite the level of being in the military. It's not necessarily life and death, but it's still similar. And even in a college program, you're pulling towards one goal. And when you're unified, I mean, you're not looking to when you're trying to run a ball, Brady, on a play down the field, you don't care where the person came from or what religion they are or anything else. Right. Just block the other guy ahead of me so I can get through. Right. Do your job.
That's right. Yeah. And you're counting on people. You go through different experiences with, you know, you use the example of being in a foxhole, but, you know, with football, you go through experiences in the winter training that you go through, which is really, really difficult. You go through injuries. Mm-hmm. You go through the highs and lows of winning games, losing games. And to your point, at the end of the day, the best player is going to be out there that can execute, and you're looking for your teammate to do their job so that you can go do your job. And so that the team can have success and you can chase or accomplish those goals that you have all set out to do, whether that's individual goals or as a team.
Yeah.
And so it becomes this least common denominator. It's like, hey, do your job. We're part of this together. We've, you know, bled together on the practice field. We've sweat together. We've gone through all this adversity together. And that really has a way of forging relationships that transcend the differences that people could look at from an outsider's perspective. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm super thankful for that opportunity that athletics has given me to bring down that barrier and that wall that I might have had just based on where we grew up.
And that, to me, that's the beautiful thing. And one of the main things that's so beautiful about athletics to me in sports is that you see people come together and work as a team and achieve something. And that is a skill that will serve them well as they go throughout their life, whether it's joining a company or an organization or whatever it is. When we are with people that we might not always agree with or be the same of us as us, how do we put those things aside and make our differences our strength for our organization?
Absolutely. And how can that perspective or that difference in opinion on a topic, whether it, like you said, whether it's at work, and you're trying to execute a project and somebody has a different thought process on how it can be done.
Yeah.
You know, are you open-minded enough to challenge yourself to say, okay, is my thought process always the right thought process? Or what can I take from this person? Maybe we don't agree on, you know, this and this, but for this project, hey, they bring a really good perspective where let's try implementing that, or this part of it, let's add it to the plan.
Yeah.
And so valuing those differences to open up your own perspective and challenge yourself a little bit so that the best idea and project can go get executed.
I couldn't not agree with you more, Brady. Well said. And again, I know that in your free time, what little you have between your four boys, your wife, and the rest of your family, you're going out and speaking to schools. I hope that people reach out and have you come in, because you have so much to say beyond just the X's and O's. It's really the life lessons I think that I find so fascinating about the work that you're doing. Speaking of the X's and O's, though, Brady, you sent me this article this week. You have to be absolutely over the moon. We've spent a little time on this segment beating up on Badger football here. Here is something that's good news. The new offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes, the fullback is back for the Badgers, Brady.
Let's go. I know we were texting about it earlier this week. I was super excited to see that. And, you know, I just feel like there's something. Obviously, I have a personal connection with the fullback, but even growing up before I got to spend some time at Wisconsin, it was such a pivotal part of the offense. And no matter what offense you're running, having that H-back or that fullback guy that can move around the backfield provides a different dimension that a lot of teams haven't had to prepare for recently. Mm-hmm. And I kind of draw back to the parallel when Michigan came to the Big Ten when I was in school. They were running, you know, a 3-4 style defense versus the traditional 4-3 that most of the teams are running at the time. And now pretty much a lot of teams are running the 3-4 style, but at the time that was just different. Mm-hmm. And so it took a lot of preparation. It took a lot of focus to make sure that you understood your responsibilities so that you could go execute. And I feel like that is the fullback nowadays, because a lot of teams just don't see that on a regular basis. And some of the plays and motions and things you can do out of those sets.
Well, and I know that you've talked about it. Your brother Brandon, who's been on the program before, has talked about it. Guys like J.J. Watt and Joe Thomas have been on social, saying a lot that Wisconsin football has seemingly lost its identity in the last couple of years. I think this is at least one step to retain or get that identity back, which is just smash-mouth football, run the ball. Yes, incorporate some, maybe update it a little bit in terms of throwing it. But at the heart of it, Wisconsin offense, you just run it down people's throats.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, we've talked about it. The identity, I feel like, hasn't been there. And when I think back to the identity of Wisconsin football of old, at least on the offensive side, it was like we were just going to assert our will on the defense over time. Maybe in the first quarter, second quarter, you were getting, you know, 3, 4, 5 yards. But all of a sudden, third and fourth quarter, you wear them down, you start popping some long runs. And oftentimes, they would call out, you know, where we were going to run the ball, especially late in the game. But we, you know, a lot of times the defense couldn't stop and we were able to just out-physical them, outlast them mentally. And I feel like that encompasses, at least in my mind, everything that Wisconsin football has been historically since, you know, the mid-90s.
And, you know, as Barry Alvarez once famously said about Ron Dayne after he scored like 4 touchdowns by like, I don't know, the third quarter or whatever, he said, he's not even lathered up yet. He's not even lathered up. He's, you know, he's just getting warmed up. I mean, that's Wisconsin football.
Get the sweat going.
Right, exactly. Quickly, Brady, this is one that shocked me. Apparently, Wisconsin football now has general managers. There's like this 24, 25-year-old kid, Max Steinecker, who was apparently the general manager of football, has been stolen or in the portal, not really a portal, but stolen away by USC. This kid's going to run the USC. Is this a thing now in college basketball in a minute here?
It must be. I mean, that must be the trend. It's fascinating to me because that was something I didn't even know Wisconsin had, especially, you know, somebody of that age. It's just a little shocking that they have such a pivotal part in the program.
Right.
So, it's like good for him. It sounds like he's a savant, but.
Oh, right. He's like the Doogie Howser of college football, apparently. I don't know. It's an old reference for some people. The wonderful Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris played this prodigy kid as a doctor called Doogie Howser. It's an old show.
Got it. You'll have to send me a link. I'll have to do some research on that.
that's a joke for us people of a certain age. We're going to come back and talk to Brady Moore a little bit about basketball, Badger basketball. The Badgers are on a great run here, looking pretty good as they head towards the tournament time. And also, there happens to be a big football game coming up this week as well, a little a Super Bowl, as they say. So we'll come back and talk to Brady about the Super Bowl, get his predictions. Will it be the Kansas City Chiefs in their three-peat, or will it be the Dirty Birds? No, it's
the Ravens are the Dirty Birds.
Oh, okay, all right. The Philadelphia Eagles. Come on back. It's Brady, Todd, and Sommers on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Springsteen. Springsteen.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here, on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Between all the holiday parties,
weekend tailgates,
and family get-togethers,
we've been overindulging a little more than usual over the holidays. But now, we're starting the new year off on a healthier note by taking Active Liver supplements from New Nordic every day.
Active Liver contains a powerful blend of turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract, all natural ingredients that help protect the liver so that it can protect you from toxins. It's like giving my body a daily detox. I've never felt better, and my energy is through the roof.
And my doctor is already impressed with how much better my numbers are looking. So if better health, more energy, and detoxing your body are some of your priorities this year, get Active Liver today and start the year off knowing you're giving your liver some well-deserved relief.
Active Liver is available in both tablets and as a delicious gummy. You can find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the show, where Brady Ewing is line dancing into the weekend. He's a mean line dancer, let me tell you. It is 9 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. And welcome back to the show. Zomer's on the board, three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badgers. Brady Ewing, a great fullback, perhaps the greatest fullback in Wisconsin football history, is bringing back the fullback position, and we're thrilled about that. He also spent 3 years in the NFL and is an all-around great guy. Brady, welcome back to the show. We're always happy to have you here. The time always goes too fast, my friend. Wisconsin Badger football, or basketball, pardon me. The Badgers are in action down at the Fran Trams in Iowa tomorrow, actually, on Saturday, 11 o'clock broadcast start. Tip-off with Iowa and Wisconsin at 12 noon. You can hear it on Brady and I's hometown station in Richland Center. Also, we're seeing Kenosha, Wisconsin Rapids, and Amory. Brady, Greg Gard got the Badgers looking pretty good.
Yeah, I love what I'm seeing lately. Obviously dropped the game to Maryland maybe a week or two back and a tough opponent. But, they're winning the games that they should win. I feel like they're doing it in good fashion. I like the way that they're incorporating outside game and getting a ton of people involved. I feel like there's so many weapons, it is tough to defend them. There's guys that can go off on different nights, and if Tanjay has an off night, you know, another person will step up. So that's, I think, a signal of a great team. The fact that you have multiple guys that can step up on any given night and you're not quite sure who it's going to be. So I love what I'm seeing there, and hope they can continue to grow and develop as the season progresses.
It's almost
March, man.
Exactly. And how about Carter Gilmore from Heartland, Wisconsin, a Wisconsin guy. He's a senior. Mm-hmm. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he was a walk-on that earned his scholarship just like you did in football. And boy, did he have himself a career night the other night, and literally just won that game for the Badgers. He got to go on TV after, and he guard waved him over, and he's like, wait, I get to go on TV? I never get to go on TV. He didn't know what to do. But how happy are you for a guy like Carter Gilmore?
I love it. And it was cool to see, you know, the fans getting into it, supporting him as the game progressed. And, you know, with the way that things are going too in college athletics with the revenue sharing and all of that, from what I understand, the walk-on tradition is going to be either extinct going forward or greatly minimized. So it's cool to see guys like that that have lived through that era continue to have success. I definitely can relate to him in going from walk-on and contributing to earning a scholarship. So I know that journey well, and it's a super rewarding one to kind of have your back against the wall and just continue to work to help your team find your role. And his role's grown. I think he's improved a ton.
Oh yeah,
since last year.
He really. I went to the Ohio State game the other night, and I mean they got out to like a 21-3 lead. I mean, Ohio State had to take two or three timeouts, and I looked up at the clock with my buddy Jeff, and there was still like 12 minutes to go in the first half. It was just crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. I was at the Richland Center High School basketball game, the boys' game that night, and Rachel was texting me updates because she was home with our youngest, putting him to bed. And I thought it was a typo when she sent me the score early in the first half. I'm like, right? What? That is quite the spread early in the game. But yeah. They definitely evened it out as the game went on, but it was a good win nonetheless.
It was. 5 minutes before the hour, just like 3 minutes left here. But quickly, Brady, let's break down the Super Bowl this Sunday. And actually, WRCO, our hometown station, 100.9 FM in Richland Center, is going to carry the Super Bowl, so that'll be fun. It is, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs trying to go for an unprecedented three-peat in Super Bowls, taking on the Philadelphia Eagles in a rematch of the Super Bowl from a couple of years ago. Give us some keys to the game, Brady.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, I mean, probably everybody, but how the line at the Eagles, you know, gives Saquon some gaps to run in. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy's so talented. If he gets into open space, he can make people miss. He can, you know, do theatrical jumps and leaps to get some extra yards. And he's so tough to just bring down. He's got a great low sense of gravity, you know, can make some quick adjustments and moves. So I think that run game and being able to establish that early will be a big part to Philadelphia's success. As far as, you know, the Chiefs, you know, I always look at getting Kelce involved in Mahomes, and just, I think the more confidence, he's not going to be rattled in this game at all. Obviously they've been there, they've won the last two. And so again, if you can get some pressure on him, he can run, but that slows down his arm. And I think that will be important for the Philadelphia defense. So I'm actually pulling for Philadelphia.
Are you?
You know, it's nice to see somebody else win too. I got nothing against the Chiefs.
It's because you played for the Falcons and you're cheering for other birds. That's what it is.
That's exactly. using elementary school analysis, that's what my kids would probably say for sure.
Well, that's about my level. Todd thinks that's why I liked hanging out at your son's the Brewer game. We're about at the same level.
No, I wasn't saying that, but I'm excited too. Or Brandon, I should say, would be excited for the Puppy Bowl. I don't know if you ever watched the Puppy Bowl.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wish we were carrying that on civic media. I'm pulling for the Chiefs just because I'd like to see the unprecedented happen. And, you know, the Philadelphia Eagle fans were terrible to some of our Packer fans when we were out there. So, you know, let's stick it to them. So I think it'll be close. I think it's going to come down to you watch that game against Kansas City and the Bills. It really came down to coaching. Some of those plays that Andy Reid drew up and Mahomes was able to execute. Yeah. I still think that Andy Reid is one of not the best coach in the NFL right now.
Yeah, he has the ability to put some plays together that they haven't run all year, but they'll have something up their sleeve for this game. And to be able to go execute it on the big stage will be huge.
We're going to talk with Mike Clemens live from the Super Bowl right after the top of the hour, so stay tuned for that. But Brady Ewing, thank you. Have a great Super Bowl, and we'll see you around the neighborhood. Take care, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. Brady Ewing, we appreciate his time. Stay tuned. Mike Clemens is next, live from New Orleans on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me this week as we talk to my friend and national figure Adam Kinzinger in what will be certain to be an incredible conversation.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Southern California, residents marking 1 month since the deadly wildfires driven by hurricane-force winds broke out and devastated areas of L.A. County.
1 month later, efforts to remove fire debris are only just beginning. L.A. Mayor Karen Bass announcing the opening of a new one-stop center for Palisades residents to get answers and help rebuilding.
31 days since unprecedented fires engulfed our city.
Close to 30 people died in the wildfires. The causes of the two big and deadly fires have not yet been determined. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
President Trump amending his executive order on Chinese tariffs, postponing the imposed tariffs on low-value shipments under $800 from China. Northern California recovering from a round of heavy rain yesterday, two deaths in Sonoma County blamed on the deluge, and parts of the Midwest and Northeast bracing for another storm this weekend after an icy winter mix crippled states and triggered accidents. This is ABC News.
Local